Hey everyone, welcome in. You know, I am back from my amazing journey through Israel, and though I didn't want to leave, I'm also blessed to be home and here with all of you today. My guest is Dr. Ames Smith. He's a local Sandpoint specialist, doctor in the awareness and the prevention and treatment of breast cancer. You know, this is such important information coming to you and your family today. Did you know that in 2021, over 43,000 women and over 500 men died from breast cancer? So it is still a medical issue that we need to be informed on and be aware of. And we need to be vigilant as stewards of our good health along with the Lord. You already know it's Tuesday. This is Speak Up. My name is Barbara. And I have very much looked forward to this program. This is information that we all need and we can use. So, okay, our first break is coming up right now. We're going to do a little business and then we'll be right back.
As the days start getting shorter and a slight nip in the evening air becomes apparent, it's hard not to acknowledge that the annual grape harvest for us at the Pondere Winery is here. Over the next 2 months, we will turn some of the highest quality grapes in the country into more award-winning wines. In the meantime, please enjoy our 2020 Petite Syrah as September's Wine of the Month. We also have a terrific lineup of music and a menu of cuisine sure to satisfy almost every appetite. We're open Tuesday through Saturday, 12 to 8, so come see us at 301 Cedar in downtown Sandpoint. The Pondere Winery, a Sandpoint institution for the past 28 years.
Merlin's Comedy Club invites you to join comedian Michael Palasek at the Croc Center in Coeur d'Alene, 1765 West Golf Course Road, this Saturday at 7 p.m. Get tickets at merlinscomedyclub.com for premium or general seating. Michael Palasek's unique and sharp personal material will have the entire house laughing. Tickets on sale at merlinscomedyclub.com. Don't miss Michael Palasek, Saturday the 23rd at the Croc Center in Coeur d'Alene. We'll see you Saturday. Michael Palasek, the Croc Center.
I'm all about keeping my family driving safe. Dad, pothole.
Got it.
So I insist we choose Les Schwab tires for safety services like brakes, steering, and alignment. Stuff those cheap tire centers don't offer. Because I want a backseat drive with confidence. Dad, speed check.
During our Les Schwab fall tire sales, save up to $250 on a set of four select tires. Limited time offer while supplies last. See leschwab.com/sale for details.
When veterans return to civilian life, they deserve your recognition and support. You can help put vets to work by donating your car, truck, or van to Patriotic Hearts. Your donation will directly support programs to help vets find jobs or even start their own business. Donate today for fast, free pickup of your vehicle, running or not. Call 800-209-3485. 800-209-3485. 800-209-3485.
Sponsored by Patriotic Hearts.
Join Macy's and Hispanic Federation to support student growth and mentoring during Hispanic Heritage Month. Now through October 15th, help empower students to grow into leaders when you donate online to Hispanic Federation or round up your Macy's store purchase up to 99 cents and donate the extra change. Give back today. Shop Latino and Hispanic-owned brands and find out how we're creating brighter futures for all at Macy's.com/purpose.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
See our schedule, check our helpful links, or stream us anywhere. All at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
All right, everyone, welcome back in. Join me now and say hello to Dr. Ames Smith, our guest today. I'm going to call you Dr. Ames.
Sure.
Thank you for being here with us in the studio. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me here.
All right. Well, let's start with a bit about your education, your medical background, and how you decided to move specifically into breast cancer.
Sure. Well, basically, I'm from Texas originally, from Houston, and I did my medical school at the University of Texas. And then I did my surgical training at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston. And while I was there, I rotated through MD Anderson, one of the large cancer centers in our country.
Yes.
And then I went into private practice straight out of training in Austin, Texas for about 22 years. And I'm a general surgeon, so I've done all kinds of cancer surgery, including not only breast, but pancreas and colon and all types of other cancer surgeries. But in 2009, I made a decision to specialize in breast cancer surgery because I had always had, from the very start, a very strong breast surgical practice. And I really felt at that time that that type of work really required dedication and focus. And so I essentially let all the other aspects of my general surgical field go away, and I focused exclusively on breast cancer surgery.
You know, as you were speaking, it just occurred to me, you know, surgery is not only a physical but an emotional journey for people to go through. But it seems to me that breast cancer surgery is particularly emotional for, well, certainly a man if he has to do it, but for a woman.
No doubt.
It is. It's different than getting your appendix out, with all respect to
yes.
that process or whatever, a knee replacement. Isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that it is very important, just the whole aesthetic part of it. And this whole field is very nuanced. And for instance, you can have two different women with the same cancer type, same size, everything else the same. And they may have completely different perceptions about that, different values, and different ways that they would like to proceed. So whoever is managing this type of thing really needs to be able to consider all those things and discuss some of the complexities. And one thing to know, too, is that in 2012, I was recruited to go to Seattle. And so they were looking for a breast surgeon as director of their breast surgery program. And so I interviewed and they hired me. And that was a big blessing. And part of that is that my wife, who's also a physician, had fallen in love with Seattle. So we were prayerful to try to figure out how do we get up to Seattle. But the door opened for me to do that. And so I was the breast surgery director for a group that was over 200 physicians.
Oh my.
And I was their sole surgeon.
Oh, my. That's...
I got a lot of volume
yes.
of cases.
Yes, indeed. As I was looking at some information preparing for today, Ames, I think I thought that breast cancer was pretty well conquered and, you know, it was like chronic. You get breast cancer and, you know, your mammogram tells you and you get treatment and whatever. But... So personally, I was surprised that in 2021, over 43,000 women died and over 500 men. Comment on that, it's still a serious situation when someone is diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yes, it is. And actually, breast cancer is the number one cancer in women apart from skin cancer.
Mm.
And skin cancer in most cases is not a very threatening thing.
Right.
And breast cancer is actually the second most common cause of cancer death in women. The encouraging thing is that the mortality rates have actually been decreasing. And a big part of that relates to improved treatments. There is also some evidence that early diagnosis is playing a role in that, although that's a fairly complicated area.
Well, we're going to get into both of those areas, detection and treatment, but I want to start with awareness. You know, thinking of our audience that's listening, what do they need to be aware of, either aware of their body or aware of what's available with the topic of breast cancer? How can we be better informed?
Excellent question. So basically, a number of things to be thinking about. One thing is just knowing the context and knowing risk factors. And so actually one of the biggest risk factors is just related to a lifelong exposure to estrogen, which is something that women cannot do anything about. But another risk factor that's important to think about is family history. And so if someone has a first-degree relative with breast cancer, that essentially doubles her risk. And it goes on from there. So if you have an aunt and a sister and a mother with breast cancer, that's more significant. The other thing would be breast density on mammogram. So there is a new FDA ruling that as of November of 2024, all facilities that do mammograms will need to report the mammographic density. And so women who have extremely dense tissue as compared to fatty density tissue have a significantly higher risk just based on that.
Is that because it's more difficult to detect?
It's actually a different, not that, but it is more difficult to detect. So it's kind of a double whammy because
it's actually a different
it's a
cancer.
Risk factor, but it's also harder to detect.
Okay.
But
oh,
the good
I
news
see.
Is there are other ways to for detection also.
I see what you're saying. So a density in the breast is a risk factor, and it's more difficult to
Correct.
Detect. So it's
Correct.
Kind of the double issue there.
Exactly. And that's typically a genetic thing. So it's, again, not something necessarily that a woman could do anything about. But I think another thing that's very important to know is that only about 10% of breast cancers are hereditary, where there's literally a gene mutation that can be detected, like Angelina Jolie. You may have heard about her.
Yes.
You know, the most common mutations would be BRCA1 and BRCA2. But that accounts for only 10%. However, it's important for women to understand that there are very clear red flags for hereditary cancer, like male breast cancer. So if you see a male with breast cancer, that's an automatic red flag that, yes, there could be a hereditary cancer mutation in that family.
So it isn't just your aunt and your mom. You might also look at the male line in your family.
Correct.
They've had, that's a red flag for
yes,
sure.
Yes, because genetics can come down through the mom or the dad.
You know what I like about what you just said about the hereditary factor, and I think it's important for our listeners to understand 10% versus 90. So it's not like you are given a sentence here. This is just a part of the picture, and a lot of what we can do when we get into the issues of prevention, you can set that percentage aside a little bit to a certain extent.
Right. Yeah. And actually, over 50% of women who develop a breast cancer have no discernible risk factors.
Mm-hmm.
So,
say that again, what percent?
Over 50%.
Wow.
Yes. And so something like 20% of the time there may be a family history, which is a risk factor, but there's not a definable mutation.
You know, that's an area that I guess we can get into it in prevention. We can go there now. We can jump around a little bit. But if 50%, there's no history, there's really no reason that they should have breast cancer except there it is.
Estrogen.
It's just there it is. Oh, so estrogen.
Yes, and it has to do with estrogen stimulation of the breast tissue, which leads to proliferation of the cells, so you get proliferative changes. And over time, there can be an accumulation of mutations, which are not passed on genetically, but they're mutations within the tissue itself. And that can lead to uncontrolled growth and spread, and that's a cancer.
Yes. So that makes me remember or think about menopause when a lot of doctors want to give you estrogen. I don't know if that's still the direction, and they talk about biocompounded estrogen and, you know, the different, was it E1, E2, the different E's.
Right.
You know, it seems that we would not be doing that. If estrogen is one of the foods, if you will, too much estrogen for breast cancer, you wouldn't want to be taking more.
Well, you know, there is a lot of literature about that. And so, and the whole idea of bioidentical hormones, I think, is a really important aspect. And so one thing I'd like to bring out is that in this whole realm, it's a multidisciplinary approach. And so it's kind of like a football team. You know, you have the quarterback, you have the tailback, you have the receiver, you have the tackles, and everybody has a specific role. And so what has happened with me in my particular practice is that my eyes have been opened a little bit more to the fact that naturopathic medicine has a lot to offer. And so there's a term called allopathic. Mm-hmm. And allopathic is basically who I am, which means somebody who's trained with, quote, Western medicine and has gone through all of that. And in some ways, Western medicine has really disregarded a lot of the things that are going on in the naturopathic world. But what I'm discovering is that that's not really true. I mean, I think that an integrative approach is the way to go. And so what I'm trying to do in my practice is discern in every way what is true. And so, but it has caused me to really relook at some things.
You know, just like as you said before, that two women can have the same type of cancer, maybe the same location, but there are different pathways of treatment and for them that they may choose. It's nuanced because of a lot of factors. And I think that you're saying the same thing with this kind of treatment options. And I'm backing up before cancer to menopause, because that's when you may have a doctor start telling you to get rid of the night sweats or the whatever menopause symptoms, you need more estrogen. I will not take a pill unless they twist my arm. So I am just really the worst patient in the world. But I do think that women need to be informed about this whole estrogen thing, so they can make wise choices with their healthcare provider. Is that a good thing to think?
Absolutely.
And say?
Absolutely. Because I don't think estrogen is evil. I mean, I think estrogen actually really helps. But the question
one
is,
of the players on the football team you're talking about.
Yes, and there are different ways to administer estrogen, you know, and the other thing is the big no-no is having a combined estrogen and progesterone, because we found that that increases the risk for breast cancer.
Okay.
So, but what I have chosen to do is to partner myself with some really smart naturopathic providers who know about the oncology realm, and I can actually run some of those things by them.
Yeah. We do need both, and I think that is the healthiest way for both the patient and the healthcare providers, plural, to work together, because, and we're going to get into that in the next segment about all of the various things we can do. We're going to talk about prevention first, but all of the way that everything can be synergistically working together to prevent the cancer or fight the cancer and treat the cancer. That is so good. Integrative approach. These are like magic words.
I love it. And I have always been a, quote, team player, mm-hmm. because in the allopathic realm, that looks like having a tumor board where there's a radiation oncologist, a medical oncologist, the breast surgeon, the plastic surgeon, physical therapy, genetics. And so Mrs. Doe has this type of cancer. Here are all the images. What do we all think?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the difference now in my practice is I'm actually starting to think, what do some of these other people think?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that also involves functional medicine, things that honestly I really had never given a chance.
That's really interesting. When we come back from our next break, we're going to take that right now. We're going to talk about functional medicine. We're going to get a definition of that. And then I want you, doctor, to talk about prevention, how we can maybe avoid this railroad all the way. All right, we'll be right back.
When you're eating McDonald's Spicy Chicken McNuggets, take a moment to appreciate that they're back. And while you may be eager to reach for another McNugget, take a moment to let the spice settle. Because the lightly breaded tempura and blend of aged cayenne aren't just spicy, they're worth it. You can order ahead on the McDonald's app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
But participate in McDonald's for a limited time. McD app download and registration required.
If you've been having your McDonald's sausage McMuffin with an iced coffee from somewhere else, now's a great time to reconsider.
It's the perfect time to chill out with a seasonal pumpkin spice iced coffee. Or try a caramel or French vanilla iced coffee, each made with 100% Arabica beans. Turns out, you now have three delicious reasons to reconsider at participating McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Hey, Don Thomas here for Selkirk Glass and Cabinets, Carpet One, and Sandpoint Furniture, also known as the Pondere Design Center. And that's what I want to talk about today, who and what we are, and all that we can provide in the way of making your house a home, just like the radio jingle. Well, it's never been more true than today. I think the best way to explain all that is by example. So let's say you're a building contractor in the beginning stages of a new home or a full-scope remodel. You've got a time frame and a budget to keep in check. You've used us before, so you're confident you can send your clients to our design center. And they'll see lots of product and make lots of decisions. Maybe they'll start at the Carpet One showroom and pick out bathroom, kitchen, and floor tile, carpet, wood flooring, and even area rugs. Then they'll come on over next door to our Selkirk Glass and Cabinet showroom. They'll see offerings shown in doors, windows, cabinets, shower glass, and more. And now, they've saved enough money, they'll want to head back over to our Sandpoint Furniture showroom to take a closer look at all the beautiful displays there. So whether you're a builder or a homeowner, you owe it to yourself to come check us out at the Pondere Design Center. That's the only place you need to go.
You're definitely going to need a bigger wallet, because this fall you can win big at the Kootenai Casino in Bonner's Ferry. Qualify to win with weekly hot spins, or join us every Friday or Saturday for our weekend super spins. You could walk away with a ton of cash. Room rates are just $99 a night midweek for the Kootenai Falls Lodge, or just $119 for a Riverview room. The Springs is featuring four throwback dinner specials, each priced $13. Spaghetti and meatballs, Idaho trout, meatloaf, and stir fry, all backed by popular demand for a limited time. And this September, in the Kootenai Spa, you'll find a relaxing anti-stress facial with a scalp massage for just $75. Or how about a custom 30-minute massage, body polish, and cactus wrap for just $155? So buy yourself a bigger wallet, a bigger purse, or heck, just bring a suitcase for the cash, because you're going to need it at the Kootenai Casino in Bonner's Ferry. Book your winning fall getaway by calling 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY or visit KootenairiverInn.com. Room specials based on availability.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM.
Welcome back in, everyone. I am pleased that our guest today, Dr. Ames Smith, is with us. This is such good information. It's so timely with October being Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And, Doctor, I'm just so grateful for you being here and sharing your expertise. And I understand that, is it tomorrow evening you're going to be at the Kroc Center? Tell our audience about that in case they want to go, or alert someone in the Coeur d'Alene area to go.
Yes, thanks so much. So it will be at 6:30 at the Kroc Center, and it is free admission. And I will be talking about breast cancer screening and prevention, and just looking forward to it.
Yes, indeed. So that's at the Kroc Center tomorrow evening. That's Wednesday evening, the 20th, at 6:30 in the evening. All right. Well, our topic that I want to move into is prevention. Before we get to detection and treatment, what can we do as a healthy woman, a young woman, or even an older woman, or especially an older woman? What can we do to help give ourselves the best chance not to get diagnosed with breast cancer?
Well, some of the main things would be lifestyle choices. And the great thing is, these are things that each woman would have an opportunity to do something about. So, for instance, not smoking. Alcohol also has a linear effect on breast cancer risk. So generally, I would recommend no more than one alcoholic drink per day, just as a general thought. Obesity for postmenopausal women has been shown to be a risk factor. So something that I've recently discovered, is the whole idea of intermittent fasting, which I think can be a helpful tool in that. Exercise, you know, some degree of exercise and basically overall just wellness, those things do play a role. It's likely that making sure that adequate vitamin D levels are there would be preventive. When we're talking about prevention, there are some things that can be done if we know somebody's high risk to actually modify their risk. So in the allopathic realm, there are medications that can be taken if somebody were interested in that. And the primary one would be tamoxifen. And you've probably heard of that before. But there have been really good studies done with tamoxifen that have shown that if a woman takes 5 years of tamoxifen, that it can lower risk by 49%. And so,
significant.
And the downside risk of tamoxifen or side effect is primarily hot flashes, and there can be some other side effects, but there are good websites and resources where women can really study that and decide. For premenopausal women, we would advise non-hormonal birth control because tamoxifen can cause birth defects, so that would be an issue. So
for a woman who has an elevated risk, either genetically or they have that gene in there that, you know, that she does, there's no diagnosis, but she's high risk. Tamoxifen treatment would be something that she might
want
to consider.
It would be an option. And there are two other medications, too, just to know about. Raloxifene would be another one, and then Arimidex. And all these medications basically starve the breast tissue of estrogen.
Okay.
The Arimidex is for postmenopausal women, but even in postmenopausal women, there is some estrogen that the body produces through peripheral tissues, not the ovaries, but other tissues. And the Arimidex cuts down that estrogen production. So those would be three medicines that could be taken
for a high risk woman.
Right. But if a woman has super high risk, like with a BRCA1 or BRCA2, that woman would also have an option even for mastectomy.
Yeah.
And so, but
just
that's not a choice.
Interventional surgery. Just
right.
Don't let it get in there with an opportunity to become metastatic.
And that's obviously a very personal choice.
Totally.
And not every woman decides to do that.
Right.
There are some that would based on levels of risk. But if we chose that, it would be only after a lot of deliberation, and we're actually able to do incisions below the breasts, remove the breast tissue, spare the nipple and areola, and then the plastic surgeon can rebuild. And the thing about that is it lowers risk by over 90%.
Yeah, that's stunning. You know, it's interesting. When you were talking about lifestyle prevention activity, where we can, by our lifestyle, increase our health and decrease perhaps the incidence of cancer, specifically today breast cancer, probably any cancer. But you know, those things that you listed, they're good for everything. They're good for everything, whether it's heart disease or Alzheimer's or cancer or arthritis or inflammation. Smoking is no. Alcohol is very limited. Obesity is just not good. I hate to even, you just got to be trim, you know, you just have to do it. Intermittent fasting is good, and that helps you with your obesity. Exercise, love it. And good food.
Yes.
Which are not French fries.
Right, right.
That's, I know it's a vegetable. But.
And the great thing about it is you're right that these are recommendations that would help any woman for anything.
Any woman
so
for anything.
So when I was in Austin, I had something called Dr. Smith's Wellness Challenge. And I would give it to every woman that came in. And all of those things listed would help in every way.
Yeah, it's absolutely, absolutely true. You know, eat your fruits and vegetables. That's what your grandma and your mom told you. Eat your spinach. And she was right. So we have some control over what's going on in our body with our health. And I find that really encouraging. And it's taking responsibility and stewardship for ourselves, isn't it? And as the moms out there that are listening, you're the one who's planning the meals. You're the one who's putting that food in the grocery cart. Listen, girl, you're in charge. Make good choices. So before we go any further, I want to get into detection, but how can our listeners get in touch with you? If they want to follow up with you, they have more questions, which I'm sure they will because we are not going to get to everything today. How can people connect with you?
Sure. Well, I do have a practice called Physician Specialist Northwest. And so my office number is 208-400-5131. And it's not like a typical practice because I actually carry my own cell phone. And so that's the office phone is the phone that goes directly to me. Mm. So sometimes patients are surprised. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get you. I was trying to get your office. Well, I am the office. But I think patients actually appreciate that because they have direct access.
Absolutely. And you're right here in town at 420 North 2nd. And so that number again, 208-400-5131. You can talk to Dr. Ames. I call him Dr. Ames. It's actually Dr. Ames Smith, okay? But you can talk to him directly, our experienced specialist, breast cancer surgeon. And I sure appreciate it. All right, so we've done everything we can to prevent, but now we're responsible to also work with our doctor to detect. So what are the various methods of detection that we need to be aware of? What's the newest stuff out there?
You bet. So basically, one straightforward thing is just to be aware of the breasts, and we call it now breast awareness. There actually were two studies at least related to breast self-exam, which was a regimented, instructed examination, which ultimately those two studies proved that it wasn't necessarily much benefit. And I think the problem with that was that women would feel things that would freak them out, mm-hmm. and maybe some unscrupulous doctors would say, well, let's do an operation. And so it just wasn't a good thing. So that has been changed now to breast awareness. And so what that means is just being aware of what your breasts look like and specifically making note of any bloody or watery nipple discharge, especially if it comes out of a single duct, or retraction of the skin where the skin is pulling in or the nipple is pulling in, any type of lump. Now, the thing is, in my career, the vast majority of breast cancers that could be felt were not subtle. Mm-hmm. Just any casual person would feel it because breast cancers cause a scarring reaction around them, which makes it like a hard rock.
Oh, okay.
And so if you're feeling a little lumpy bumpies or I'm really worried about this, in most cases, that's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. That's not a breast cancer. But if it's a rock and it hasn't been there before, that really should be looked at. And also, redness of the skin can be a real clue. There's a type of cancer called inflammatory carcinoma that is called that because it comes on suddenly, very quickly, and it has redness and warmth to the breast. It can look like an infection.
Literally, inflammation.
And so it looks like inflammation. And the reason for that is that the tumor cells infiltrate the lymphatics, and so which are the little vessels that drain the breast to circulate it back into your circulatory system. So sometimes women may note heaviness of the breast or just swelling of the whole breast. That can be another clue.
You know, I'm trying to remember when this was. I think it was maybe a couple of years ago. I can't remember. And I know I read something about this on, you know, Dr. Google. But I thought it was good advice. So I want to ask you, and I think I see what you think. And that is that, you know, frequently when you finish with your bath or your shower, look at yourself in the mirror. You will see if one breast is bigger, smaller, one is red and inflamed, or you'll see something different. You will see if you just get used to looking.
Yes.
And as you become, I know it sounds weird, but I don't know whether some women are just, they're not you know, focusing in, but you become aware of what is normal. And as time goes on, then you will catch what is not normal. So this is different.
Correct.
It's good advice.
Yes. And I have seen women that have detected things that were almost imperceptible to me, but they were paying such close attention. There was one woman that said she had noted some dimpling.
Wow.
And just a little minor amount of dimpling that called attention to it. We did diagnostic imaging. She was found to have cancer. We treated her. She did fine.
Yeah. It is true, isn't it? Early detection saves lives. So pay attention to your breasts. I mean, look at them. And I don't know. I think the self-exam, it's interesting. That's kind of, but maybe if that's a way that you can become more self-aware or breast aware, then go
yes.
for it.
Yeah. I think self-exam is fine as long as a woman understands that the breast architecture is lumpy.
Yes.
It's like a cobblestone road. So if you feel a little lumpy bumpy.
Look for the rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be dominant.
Yeah. Okay. That's a skin redness, really a rock-like lump, either discharge or an indrawing of the nipple, and breast awareness. I really like that. I had not heard that before. Breast awareness. That is it. Boy, be in charge. Okay. We're going to take our last break right now. We're going to do that. When we come back, we have so much to talk about. We're going to talk about treatment so that if a diagnosis happens for you or someone in your family, we're going to talk about treatments available. What's the best for right now, 2023.
With a change of season, it's a good time to take a trip to Under the Sun in downtown Bonner's Ferry. You'll find a treasure trove of unique gifts, new fall and winter accessories arriving daily. And there's women's consignment clothing boutique in their basement. Enjoy the downstairs market or just relax in the upstairs loft, and you can find something delicious to eat or drink in their bistro. Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Under the Sun, where the sun is always shining.
Bondo, you need Bondo.
Bondo fixed the car so you can drive him home.
A Crown Victoria.
Never seen a car with so much chrome. I took it into Anderson's.
Expert paint job, shine like the sun.
Woman now thinks that I am number one.
Anderson's Auto Body.
Let's get something straight.
Ready for a change of pace? The Washington Air National Guard offers high-caliber training in career fields from medical to maintenance and everything in between. Immediately access state tuition assistance and subsidized health insurance, all while serving 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year. Select jobs eligible for a bonus up to $15,000. Contact your local Air National Guard recruiting at 509-981-3217. The Washington Air National Guard. Build a career. Serve your community.
At the Co-op, we get the farming, ranching, gardening, off-grid, do-it-yourself, and escape to the woods lifestyles. We understand farm animals, pets, honeybees, and wildlife. In our aisles, you will find housewares, clothing, animal health, hand and power tools, yard and garden supplies, plumbing and electrical products, and more. We can help you plant a garden. We can show you how to put in a fence, run a water line, establish a pasture, and catch the rain in barrels. We can show you what you will need to fasten a dealy bob to a whatchamadinget and hang up a doohickey. Our hardware selection is impressive. And when it gets cold outside, we can help you stay warm with wood stoves, energy logs and pellets, and propane options. So when it comes to propane, farm, home, and hardware, think Co-op Gas and Supply Company. We get this rural life like no one else. Come see us. The Co-op, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820.
Every 40 seconds, a child is reported missing. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping find missing kids. You can be a part of their mission by donating your unwanted car. Call 1-800-775-5622. You'll receive the maximum tax deduction, and we provide fast, free pickup. Call 1-800-775-5622. Donate your unwanted or unused car. Call 1-800-775-5622. This advertisement was paid for by Cars R Us and Find the Children.
97.1 FM, 1450 KBFI, and 1400 KSPT.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. We are talking today with Dr. Ames Smith. He is a local physician here in Sandpoint. He is a specialist in awareness that we've been talking about, prevention and treatment of breast cancer. And this is such good information. I'm so blessed and so grateful, Doctor, that you've taken time to be with us. And before we move away from detection, we can't leave without talking about mammograms. And did you call it a thermogram?
Thermograms, yes. Okay.
Tell us about that, those.
Well, basically, mammograms have been the mainstay of screening since the 1960s. That's when they first hit the scene. And there's no doubt that the quality of mammograms has gotten better and better over time. And now we have digital 3D mammograms, which are especially good for young women because of their more likelihood of having breast density. Mm-hmm. And so we can detect
things. And we have that at Bonner General.
Yes. And we can detect things earlier, fewer callbacks. So the thing about mammograms is that there are different guidelines out there, and so that can be confusing for women. And that's something that actually I'll cover in my talk tomorrow night at 6:30 at the Kroc Center.
Thank you.
But because mammograms aren't necessarily one size fits all. And so certainly if a woman has high risk and a lot of risk factors, that would be the woman that's going to benefit a lot from mammography.
And maybe even more frequent?
Well, you know, there's a lot of nuance there. And so if you're looking at cancer centers like MD Anderson, Mayo Clinic, any of the major cancer centers, they would pretty much recommend mammograms starting at age 40 annually. Mm-hmm. And then there's another whole group called the United Service Preventive Task Force that basically would recommend every other year mammograms starting at age 40. And previously, they actually recommended starting at age 50. Mm-hmm. So the thing about mammograms is they're not perfect. So one concern is just that there can be something called overdiagnosis where we may find things that are early stage that might not have been a threat if we didn't know about it.
Right.
So it's a little bit nuanced. And so currently, the recommendation would be for each woman to have a balanced discussion with her physician. Tell me about mammograms.
Right.
Why would I want to do that? That type of thing.
So I just have one quick comment. So 1960, that's like 60 years we've been enduring this. I don't know. This is just a bad thing. It's so uncomfortable. It's actually painful to a certain extent, though.
Yes.
It's gotten a little bit less painful. I mean, I don't know what they've done.
Yes.
With better imagery and digital imagery, but there must be a better way.
Well, and so there are other ways, and there are
things to consider. Effective. That's the deal.
Well, and the thing is, some of those studies really haven't been formally done. And some of the big trials that were done in the 60s, 70s, and 80s regarding mammography, there were about 8 worldwide randomized trials that looked at mammography. But that was using older imaging techniques.
Okay.
And there were issues with those trials. They were all rated fair and not even good. And so there were issues. But there is a technology called thermography, which I've just started looking at. And I'm not saying at all that would be a replacement. It could be a supplement in some cases. But mammography is an anatomic study. So it's basically looking anatomically for changes in the breast. Ultrasound is another modality that's anatomic. And so there are some women that might do, for instance, whole breast ultrasound. That can be done as a screening.
Does insurance cover that?
Not necessarily unless they have high risk.
Unless there's a reason for it.
If they have strong family history, then that is something that insurance might cover. But with thermography, it's actually a functional test because it's an infrared camera that's looking for subtle variations in surface temperature of the breast. And I actually have a patient just now who has a breast cancer, and so I was interested in seeing what would her thermogram look like. And it lit up because
wow.
Cancers have increased vascularity, and that can cause, you know, you basically get a red spot in that area. So I think a lot of this is very nuanced.
It's really important. This detection is so important. Before we run out of time, let's get to treatment. Some of the top treatments we know, chemotherapy and surgery. How are those decisions made on what to do?
Well, basically, one of the first ways we make that decision is based on the tumor type. And most cancers are estrogen and progesterone receptor positive, so they're hormonally sensitive. The ones that are really aggressive, bad tumors would be what we call triple negative, where they're not hormonally sensitive, and they are HER2 negative. HER2 is a growth factor receptor that's in the cell membrane of the tumor cells, where you have too many of those receptors in about 15 to 20% of breast cancer. So
that sounds like surgery time.
Intervention. There's one called HER2 positive, and actually we have a targeted therapy specifically for that. That's one of the ones that responds the best to chemotherapy.
Ooh.
We can actually see the tumor go away completely.
Wow.
But we still would do surgery along with that. And triple negative, which is very aggressive, actually responds very well to chemotherapy also. So if I see a woman with triple negative cancer, the sad thing is if I see a woman who has had that and they've said, well, I'm just going to live with it and I'm, you know, I'm going to ignore it, because that is one where we could have cured it if we had picked it up early.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. So chemo on the table for sure. What about radiation?
Generally, if a woman is having lumpectomy where she is doing breast conservation, meaning that she's taking the tumor out and having clear margins, in that setting, the current therapy would include radiation therapy. And that could either be given to the whole breast or given directly to the tumor site. There's some factors there.
Targeted. Like a laser.
Targeted, yes.
I know we're going through this really fast, ladies and gentlemen, but at least you're hearing some of the things that you want to talk to your doctor about, maybe with Dr. Ames Smith, if this is in your family or on your radar scope. So then surgery, of course, is another treatment modality that needs to be done also, maybe.
Yes, and the way to think about the surgery is, we are treating the local and regional disease. So basically, we're trying to make sure there's no more tumor in the breast or in the lymph node area. So usually, for invasive disease, that would include something related to the breast and then something related to the lymph nodes. And so the great news is that all the surgical therapy has gotten vastly better over the decades.
Including the plastic surgery and the reconstruction.
Yes.
That's probably the
yes.
area that's the most exciting for women and men too, if they suffer with this, that there are such advances to not be so scarred, but to be more like you think you are, a woman.
Absolutely.
You know, that's that emotional side that we were talking about before. Do you do the plastic surgery, or you're the surgeon and then you work with a plastic surgeon?
I work with a plastic surgeon. And so, for instance, if we're doing a double mastectomy, at some points, I'll put the implants in immediately, and then the plastic surgeon will take tissue from their abdomen and move it up and make new breasts.
You are medical people, are miracle workers. You are wonderful. It's the Lord has given you wisdom and power. That's got to be the last word. We're out of time. I can't believe it. I will have you back for sure. Hey, everybody, you come back too, because next week is going to be fun, wonderful, welcoming Lucas Dubendorfer from SMS Auto and Marine here in Sandpoint. They've got their big fundraiser where they are honoring and raising money for our first responders. These guys are great, and we're talking about it next week. So until then, this is Barbara saying take care of yourselves and each other, and may God richly bless you, my friends.